Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. It's the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 1. And the context is crucial to know in order to understand the passage appropriately. What is taking place in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel? I don't have to ask anyone at 11 o'clock because you know. At 8:30, however, okay, don't tell him I said that. The 14th chapter is part of the Last Supper. In fact, in John's Gospel, we recall, it begins in chapter 13, continues in 14, 15, 16, 17. Five chapters of John's Gospel dedicated just to the Last Supper. It's sort of a behind-the-scenes, intensive look, and it records a lot of what Jesus said. Now, in contrast, Matthew, Mark, and Luke each give a part of a single chapter. So there's a very different emphasis and approach that Luke has in his gospel writing. And we walk into a conversation that is already happening. We walk in to hearing Jesus say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Ah, but then we remember the Last Supper began previously, and Jesus was talking about betrayal of his own, Judas and Peter both. He was talking about suffering and death, and he was talking about rejection and scorn. Well, all of a sudden, this is no surprise that there are really troubled hearts when we appreciate that context. And he speaks to them not with sarcasm, but with absolute love, effectively saying to them that the heaviness you feel does not have to continue. There's a way for it to be changed. There's a way for your struggles. There's a way for your troubles. There's a way for your difficulties. There's a way for your confusion to be changed. And in verse 2, he says, have faith in me or trust in me. He speaks right to their hearts. To their hearts. Hearts in the biblical literature is what makes us tick. It's the core of our being. That he doesn't say this superficially or politely with good manners, but he dares to speak right to our core, right to where the trouble is most intense. That's where he speaks. And that's where he desires to speak to us. You know, earlier this week, I was meditating on this passage. And a memory was unlocked, a memory I had long since forgotten. It involved my own father. And I had begun my college career at the University of Toledo, which is the only reason that I'm here. I don't have any family here, and I had a marvelous opportunity, an academic opportunity. Typically, you don't go to the University of Toledo to be a priest. I don't know if you knew that. Although I've always done everything in an unconventional way. But I became aware of a program when this desire that I had to really grow in my understanding and practice of my Catholic faith really seized my mind. And I transferred to Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a big Catholic university right in downtown Milwaukee. Took me home. But they had a program where there was a seminary, and you could live at the seminary and you could go to the university. And that was a very attractive proposition for me in a lot of ways. And so I transferred, and the seminary didn't turn out to be as good as the advertisement, at least for me. And I really didn't realize how troubled and unsettled I was. I really don't remember complaining about it. But clearly my my being really unhappy was known, at least to my own parents, but I was afraid of speaking to them about my dissatisfaction. I was afraid of letting them down. I made this change. I pushed for it to happen. You know what? I got to just grind it out. And it was at the end of the summer, and I don't even remember the context. I just remember my dad looking at me and saying, "You know, you don't have to go back to the seminary." Actually, I didn't know that. I thought I had to. But what my dad did in that moment was he spoke to my troubled heart. He didn't solve my problem. Didn't tell me. He did say that I had to complete the degree. That was a non-negotiable. But the seminary, where you live this year, you've got options. And left them for me to figure out. And I wound up living in a home, renting a house with a group of guys that similarly left the seminary together. It was a great year. I never told Mom where the house was in the central city. Please don't tell her. She would never approve. But he spoke to my heart. See, that's the kind of love that the Lord desires to give to us, to speak right to us where we're most troubled, where it's hardest, where the challenge is most intense, where the fear is most pronounced, where the confusion resides. And a little later on in the episode, in the exchange, Jesus beautifully and tenderly is speaking to the disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper. And then there's this awkward moment when he says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going," and I'm imagining the silence. And it was the kind of silence that for some of us who are extroverts, it makes us uncomfortable. Somebody say something. And maybe they're looking at each other saying, "Yeah, I know. I don't know where he's going either. You ask him. I'm not asking him." Maybe it's rock, paper, scissors underneath the table. I don't know. But poor Thomas gets selected, and he sort of blurts out what everybody else is thinking. "Master, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Now, he doesn't say it sarcastically. It's the beautiful innocence of, we so want to get what you're saying, and we don't get it yet, but we want to. We're in it with you. We just need more help. And then our Lord's response to them, what he doesn't say is, "You're dumb. You're stupid. I mean, really, I got to hire a different consulting firm to vet out disciples because you're a disaster." You know, he doesn't say that. But he comes at it as only love can do. He comes at it again from a different perspective, so desiring to make clear to us the invitation that he gives to us to experience the fullness of life for which we've been made. And with pure love, looks at Thomas and the others and says, "I am the way." There's no finger wagging with this one, but open arms. "I am the way. I am the way that your heart desperately seeks to find. That ache in your heart, I am the way for that to be taken away. And the truth and the life, that my words and my actions, that they present to us all the route for troubled hearts to be changed. That the core, however long and persistent the struggle has been, it doesn't have to continue. Permit Jesus to speak to you in your heart, in your core, in the struggle, in the challenge. Permit him to speak his words of promise for hearts not to be troubled, for my heart not to be troubled in yours, to grow in trust of him. It simply begins by sincerely expressing our desire. Lord, let me trust you more. Let me trust you in this instance or this situation. Help me to trust you more and more. Amen.